This is a special Trenches Technology podcast series with your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. We're celebrating 50 years of cured-in-place pipe. Welcome to another episode of the Trenches Technology podcast. We are continuing our look at cured-in-place pipe turning 50 in 2021. On this episode, we are looking back at how the SIP process became the cornerstone for the trenchless rehab market, as well as kicking off the start of what has grown into a billion-dollar company, which is also marking, coincidentally, its 50th anniversary in 2021. Joining me on this episode is Ralph Western, past president of In-Situ Forum Global and now COO over the infrastructure solutions platform of Aegion Corporation, which includes In-Situ Forum, Fife, and Underground Solutions. So welcome, Ralph. I appreciate you taking the time to join me on this podcast.
Good afternoon.
I hope hope your family's all doing well and staying safe during these crazy times. Maybe start off by introducing yourself a little bit and talking about your background and what brought you to the trenchless industry.
Okay. So as you stated, I'm currently the chief operating officer of the Infrastructure Solutions Platform, which is one of three platforms in Aegion Corporation. Got 28 years of experience in manufacturing, engineering, and operations. I started with In-Situ Forum back in 2007 as the manufacturing engineering manager over in R&D, and then progressed my career through, In-Situ Forum Global, and then now over the ISP platform. Actually, I was drawn to this industry truly for the environmental slash well-being of communities draw, right? You know, coming from an automotive industry, which is high production, very strong manufacturing, into more of an environmental community service type organization. You know, you feel like you're servicing the better need of your neighbors, your municipalities, and your communities.
Talk a little bit about In-Situ Forum's history with cured in place pipe, and specifically Eric Wood's place in the industry and his legacy.
Eric was an agricultural engineer that was based in the United Kingdom. And quite frankly, what happened is he had a water leak in one of their air duct systems that was going to be very financially unviable as far as replacing. It would shut the facility down. So in 1971, he started on a mission to develop a fix for that problem. And lo and behold, he stumbled across the cure-in-place process with resin-based felt product that we now call, it kicked off the CIP industry.
Many of the industry's pioneers got their start at some level at In-Situ Forum. Can you talk about In-Situ Forum's role in helping to grow the cured-in-place market, as well as those early days when the SIP market came to North America?
Yeah. So what happened is, in 1971, after the product line was developed, Eric went ahead and developed In-Situ Forum Technologies here in the U.S. So in 1980, In-Situ Forum went public here in the North America. And through that, he signed up licensees, not so much our own contracting, but licensees that would install the product line. In 1994, around that timeline, a lot of our patents started to run out. But prior to that, we brought manufacturing to the U.S. in 1982 in Memphis, Tennessee. In 2006, the next step was, instead of just selling our product lines internally to In-Situ Forum, we started selling our product lines to other contractors through third-party sales and what we call now is manufactured technologies. And then another, milestone, I'd say, in the industry is in 2016. Traditionally, we were lining lines between 6, 8, and 10 inches. And, in 2016, we actually installed 1,000 feet of a 121-inch tube. So throughout history, we started to innovate and then also provide our technologies to our competitors. So when you flip back to 1994, when the patents expired, truly, that's when the doors opened and the CIP industry started to grow exponentially.
From your perspective, I know you only joined the industry in 2007, you said, but how has the cured-in-place process evolved over the last 50 years? You talked a little bit about the length and the diameters have changed and grown, but how in your mind has it evolved?
That's a good question, because when you look at it, Over the 50 years, you know, in Sitiform, we've installed basically 36,000 miles of CIPP pipeline. You know, that's enough to go around the globe 1.5 times. Through that time, you know, we've become much more of much more than just a contractor fixing sewers. Now it's more of an engineering solution type, manage the jobs with technology that's data driven. It's no longer just felt CIPP. You know, we create a multitude of products. There's several methodologies of installation. I would tell you in the industry over the last 5 years, the thing that I'm probably most proud of is, you know, our products are much safer and productive. Mm-hmm. When we started out, it was relatively slow process, but between employee activities, equipment safeguards, you know, and process considerations, 50 years ago, we were doing 1 or 2 shots a week, maybe 200 feet. And now, you know, it's not unheard of to have a crew of 5 guys in a 5-day work week install over a mile's worth of tube. So, you know, over the past 50 years, between technology, safety, and just changes in methodology and equipment, it's made the industry what it is today.
Conversely, though, how has in situ form itself evolved over the last 50 years from those early days?
You know, I think that the biggest thing that in situ form has done as the largest CIPP player is we've invested not only in our technology, our product innovation, and our methodologies, but it's also invested in our people. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned earlier, there are several, I would just say, icons of the industry that are actually at our competitors, have started competitors that were former in situ form employees. So, you know, I think that's been very, very impactful because not only did we share the background of how it all got started and how it should work, by having that many individuals in the industry that have the same base knowledge, I think it's helped us progress with technology and with improvements much, much quicker.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about the expiration of certain SIP patents. Many point to that as the turning point for the SIP market, opening it up even bigger than it was. Can you talk about that impact and the impact it had on the market?
Yeah, so, you know, the thing I would liken it to is when, you know, there was just Coke products and then all of a sudden PepsiCo shows up. What happened was, you know, at first I would say that market that we were used to getting freely because we were the only one with our licensees, obviously you now had competition, but with that competition, it gave us the strength, not only as in situ form, but as the industry to go out, ask for more funding, mm-hmm. right? To have more examples of how that rehabilitation methodology would drive the market and how dig and replace wasn't the only option now. Mm-hmm. So over time, when we talk about the patents expiring, those were the original patents, but you know, since then we've applied for, and there's several other patents out there as we've improved the process over time. But long story short, I think patents expiring just drives innovation, not just at Insituform, but for our industry, which doesn't just benefit the industry. It benefits our cohorts, it benefits municipalities, and eventually it benefits our communities.
What kind of impact did it have on Insituform itself? I mean, you didn't have to reinvent yourself, but you also, like you said, you opened the door to all the more competition. How did that change what you do?
So what we did, you know, it forced us to think more geographically, mm-hmm. right? When we started, it was Midwest based because we had Chesterfield office, you had the Memphis manufacturing facility. And for the most part, we were addressing everything north and east. So once we got competition, which was spurred by former in situ form employees, quite frankly, it gave us the opportunity to use our experience and go west, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Southeast and Texas and Florida and just, you know, exponentially quick, start to provide the CIPP to municipalities, Los Angeles, Houston, that had never heard of that technology. So although it sounds as if the patent expiration would have been a key milestone, but I also think it was a key growth initiator milestone for InSituForm after 1994.
During all these years, how has InSituForm expanded into other rehab markets, other products, other than just the basic sewer cured in place market?
So, you know, here's where I will give credit to our offices that remained in Europe. Europe tends to be, from a technology standpoint, they're a little bit further ahead of us. They get to market, they get things qualified quicker. So we took our experience in those markets and also those relationships to bring technologies over here to North America and introduce them. Mm-hmm. And as we've done that, you know, the industry itself has become a little bit more accepting of new technologies and other rehab types, just for the simple fact that they trust that if it's coming from someone in the CIPP industry, they're going to do their diligence and, hey, this is the right solution for you. This is the most cost-effective solution for you. I also will say, from a new product, new market standpoint in the U.S., it's much slower to introduction and exception than it is in Europe. So it gives us a little bit more time to, I don't want to say perfect, definitely streamline anything that we bring to the market, such as UV or geopolymer, glass liners, high glass belts. It gives us a little bit more time to get the market and the communities comfortable with what we're providing them, understanding that the long-term goal is to have the most cost-effective solution.
How has, in your opinion, cured in place influenced, impacted the rehab market from a municipality standpoint? What has it done for them?
Well, I guess first and foremost, it's very cost-effective. And when you look at dig and replace and the amount of time and amount of, we call it yellow iron, which is equipment, it does to dig and replace, it's very cost effective. And also it's very sustainable. When you talk about a shelf life of 50 years or more, you know, we've got some of our original liners back when Eric started that are still in place and they're performing very, very well. That's the biggest thing that I would say from a municipal market influence. Also, you know, we're doing a better job by using this technology of protecting our groundwater sources and where it goes and the flow and the impact on not just, you know, what we think is municipalities, but the way water drains from farms to streams to outtakes. All of those things are in line with what we've done for municipalities as an industry. And then, you know, ultimately it's maintaining the health and well-being of the public, right? I think we've done a great job in accelerating getting the bad water away, getting the clean water in, and making sure that it's actually maintained and monitored much better than it was in the past.
How has InSituForm influenced today's market?
Good question.
You guys are celebrating 50 years as well. What has right. been your influence?
I think our influence is we've always wanted to be the face and we weren't afraid to stand up for what we believed was right. You know, we always are going to support additional funding because it's a basic human need. We provide a convenience with little disruption to the public. We're the first ones that said, hey, don't shut that street down. We can do this without shutting the street down and inconveniencing people. You know, when we talk about access to clean water through the management of dirty water, for the most part, you know, our offerings take place and the public never really realizes that we're even rehabilitating and getting good water to them. They just take it somewhat for granted. That's great with us, right? A lot of people would want to take a lot of credit, but, you know, our focus on, as InSituForm, on community well-being, being the low-cost sustainable provider versus just being a contractor is a priority for us. You know, it's I guess you could call it community satisfaction has been a priority for InSituForm since the beginning.
What have been some of the most impactful innovations to the SIP process over the last 50 years? Not necessarily maybe InSituForm's innovations, but just in general, what has pushed the industry forward?
Well, I would say that the largest innovation, I kind of mentioned it earlier, is safety. You know, coming over the last 50 years, the industry has lost a lot of individuals due to poor safety decisions or process habits. So what we do today eliminates all of those concerns, right? It's about how do we rehabilitate water and wastewater. You know, the other thing is, you know, through innovations, you talk about sustainability and longevity. You know, there's now UV technologies, there are LED technologies, there are spray-on products. Then on top of that, you have quicker, safer, more effective install methodologies that I will say cater to a contract employee or someone that's out there on the job trying to get as be as productive and get as much tube in the ground as safely and as quickly as possible. All the while, all of these new product innovations and process changes are surrounding how do you keep our clean water clean and how do you quickly disperse the wastewater? So, you know, wanting to stay at the forefront of that and make sure that we're continuing to invest in robotic systems now. We're continuing to invest in non-styrenated products, water-based products, all types of those innovations, I think, got us where we are today, and they will leapfrog us again for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years.
What have been some of InSituForm's biggest innovations during the last 50 years or so?
Well, I would just say the biggest things that we've done, you know, you've got the standard CIPP market, which after the patents expired, everybody got into that. Mm-hmm. Well, then we were the first ones to develop glass liners. We were the first ones to develop what we call lateral reinstatement, where a water line goes into a water main, which is 100% leak-free. We also helped develop, you know, the non-styrenated based resins with our resin partners. And then, you know, we now have robotics technologies that will be coming out into the industry over the next year, possibly next year as far as Q2, that not only can help take water, wastewater. It can also be used in oil and gas, electrical type lines, all the while being a no-dig solution to where it limits disruption.
It's kind of hard to believe that this market's turning 50. It's sadly, like Eric Wood, he was unable to see that. He unfortunately died in a plane crash 25 some years ago. How would you describe this milestone for the industry?
You know, it's one of those where I think everybody's certainly excited. It's 50 years. It's like, wow, how did it not change, right? How did something else not come in and displace us? But really, we're not really surprised. You know, CIPP and its related technologies are incredibly valuable, effective for our aging infrastructure, which isn't getting any younger. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got lower emissions footprints, you know, the social disruption, you know, the cost savings. And then all of that being on top of, you know, we say that it's going to last between 50 to 100 years, where the concrete, the brick, mortar, cast iron, it's a much longer life. It's much better monitoring system. It's much better being able to go in and establish service connections and additional pipelines that can be connected easily. Because as we started to rehabilitate over time, the more of these type of CIPP installs we come across, it just makes the flow efficiencies for the municipalities better. You know, they now have mapping so they can pinpoint what needs to be rehabilitated and what doesn't. You know, in the U.S., I'll just say in North America and in globally, water wastewater systems, you know, they're continuing to age and fail. So as we continue to innovate and address that market, you know, we want to see ourselves having the same conversations 50 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're humbled. We were the founders. And over this half century, we continue to look, where are we going to be the next half century? Now, we do it in 5 to 10 year increments. But the expectation for us here at InSituForm is that, you know, we will still be a valid partner and leader in the infrastructure and CIPP industry going forward.
It's amazing, too, that this little invention 50 years ago spawned so many different other markets along the way. How it, like you said, the robotics and just the camera industry as well came along with it, because now municipalities started inspecting their pipes before they did it. I mean, it just grew so many different markets.
Right. And, you know, disinfectants, monitoring flow. We talked about longevity. It also, you know, it gave municipalities and cities the opportunity to figure out if their water flow was correct, right? Mm-hmm. Is it going the right direction? Should we change something up? And through CIPP, it gave them many more options with many more technologies that everyone brought to the table to address the market, that now it's just commonplace. You know, CIPP has almost come the default for mm-hmm. if I want something done right, quickly, cost effectively, we're going to do CIPP.
Finally, what's ahead for Cured in Place and in situ form going forward? Where are some of the markets you're looking at? Not necessarily in situ form looking at, but just in general, the market, where is the ideas going?
Okay. Well, you know, it's actually an exciting time through the new technologies. You know, there's never ending need for infrastructure, whether it's manholes, sidewalks, streets, water, sewer. And, you know, we expect for CIPP to be the preferred solution provider. You know, when we start talking about building on strong reputation and we've got ESG initiatives, we feel will provide a stable platform from a CIPP industry that will just leapfrog into other areas. There's significant growth opportunities over the next several decades, because when you look at our water and wastewater infrastructure, less of 40% of it is funded annually. So we're not getting ahead of just the water, wastewater. So as we look at water, wastewater, that ties in, you know, you got treatment facilities, you have the monitoring, you have the disinfectant. All of those things are going to start to combine and come together as a solution provider, not necessarily separate entities. And when you do that, it starts to drive innovation. We're already seeing that, hence, you know, we just discussed the robotics. You've got UV, you've got felt, you've got glass, you've got robotics now, you've got spray in place. All of those things are just coming together as we speak to provide any solution or any challenge that we're starting to see. We forementioned 121 inch in diameter. I know for a fact that we've manufactured a tube that's 130 inches in diameter that people are now installing. So not only are we looking at water and wastewater as a CIPP industry now, that's definitely expanded into oil and gas, fiber optics, the electrical lines that are all over the place that are buried, these water and wastewater lines that have to be safely rehabilitated. All of those things are coming together now, and we are finding solutions to be able to address anything that a municipality might have if it's underground. It is exciting. It's expanding. The funding's continued to grow 2-3% every year in these arenas. So yeah, I would tell you that not only the InSituForm team, but industry as a whole is very excited about the future for what it holds.
So what is up next for InSituForm for the next 50 years?
I will tell you, we've got a lot of focus right now on the water industry because it's untapped. We've got a handful of very new technologies this coming year in the next 5 years that we're looking to implement. We're starting to get into some strategic partnerships in areas that we've never played before. And, you know, again, I always like to tout our number one resources are people. Going out and recruiting and having people join our team that can provide not only the technology, but the community awareness that InSituForm makes a priority.
I want to thank Ralph Western for joining me on this episode of the podcast. To read more about Cured in Place Pipe Turning 50, check out our January 2001 issue of Trenches Technology, finding it in your mailbox, inbox, or online at trenchestechnology.com.
This has been a Trenches Technology podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the trenches industry, go to trenchestechnology.com/podcast.